following: 1. Institute systems, structures, and processes for integration and cooperation. 2. Ensure uniformity through the development of normal standards. 3. Clarify and streamline operational command and control. And 4. Provide the basis for the relevant legislative amendments to be made in order to fully establish a single police service. On the state of policing, research project that emanated from the 2016 White Paper on Policing, the report was finalized in March 2018 and will serve as a foundation which plans and interventions to professionalize the police will be developed and implemented. And the aim of the state of policing project was to assess the impact of democratic policing, 1. 2. To identify the stumbling blocks that may hamper progress, and 3. Based on evidence, outline mechanisms for improvement. The demilitarization of the SAPS WISPOL study was a joint project with the provincial secretariats aimed at exploring the understanding of militarization and demilitarization of SAPS visible policing officials. The research project was finalized and approved by the Secretary of Police in March 2018. The objectives of the demilitarization study were, 1. Analyzing the SAPS history in relation to the demilitarization and remilitarization. 2. Identifying elements of policing that contribute to visible policing militarization. 3. Visible policing compliance with police legislative frameworks in South Africa. And 4. Analyzing progress made regarding the demilitarization of visible policing. In terms of its predetermined objectives, the number of policies in policing submitted to the Minister for approval per year is in the third quarter there was 0, and the fourth quarter there was 1 that was done, that is the single police service. The reason for the non-delivery in the third quarter was the draft policy. CPF policy was drafted but was not approved due to the request for further consultation with stakeholders. Number of research reports on policing approved by the Secretary per year. In the third quarter, it was 0, and the fourth quarter, 2. So in the third quarter, it was the demilitarization of South WISPOL and the state of policing. The reason for not delivering in the third quarter was the state of policing was delayed due to the process to procure a service provider, as well as sourcing some of the information from SAPS. Legislation. The key achievements in the third quarter was the Critical Infrastructure Bill has been submitted to the Office of the State Law Advisor, and they have issued a final certificate confirming its constitutionality and approved that it can be further processed to Parliament for introduction. 2. The technical drafting of the Firearms Amendment Bill is complete. The bill has been submitted to the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor for preliminary certification. An information note on key policy proposals was prepared and approved by the Minister to proceed for approval from Cabinet for publication for comments. 3. The drafting team of the Criminal Law Forensic Procedures Bill will be processing the bill for further consultations. The bill was presented to the Development Committee on 21st September 2017. 4. The drafting team of the IPET Amendment Bill has been commencing drafting the amendments of certain provisions in compliance with the Constitutional Court judgment, as well as other changes with a view to further strengthen the independence and optimal function of IPET. In the fourth quarter, a key achievement was the parliamentary process and engagements dealing with the Critical Infrastructure Bill are in process of being finalized. 2. The Criminal Law Forensic Procedures Amendment Bill was presented to the DEFCOM and JCPS Director General Cluster. Approval was obtained to proceed to Cabinet for further processing of the bill for approval for introduction. 3. Redrafted Section 6 of the Independent Investigative Director Amendment Bill in preparation for submission to Parliament as inputs into the draft committee bill. In terms of its predetermined objectives, the number of bills submitted to the Minister for approval in the third quarter it was 1 that was achieved, and in the fourth quarter it was 0. Just to inform the Portfolio Committee Chair that in this case when we do the
annual report because we are busy with that process. The quarter four will not be zero anymore, it will be one. Civilian oversight and monitoring and evaluation. A total, in terms of its third quarter achievements, a total of 24 national monitoring tool oversight visits were conducted at police stations, which culminated in the compilation of a police station oversight report. Further, the police station service delivery trend analysis and school safety protocols protocol report were compiled and approved. And in the fourth quarter, the secretary was appointed during the oversight visit to six police stations, namely Woodstock, Harare, Matlala, Malamulele, Vuwani, and Nakasa, with a view to check frontline service delivery, national monitoring tool and TVA implementation, availability of AVRs, and the implementation of the school safety protocol. 12 oversight visits were conducted in order to pilot the tool and the DVA during the quarter four in the following areas. And the pilot was meant to test variables that will assist in determining the quantity of human and physical capacity needed and the average data collection period for police station sensors. Consultative meetings were held with all nine provinces with a view to assess the readiness of provincial secretariats to implement the census project. One capacity building session was conducted earlier than expected during March in KZN, as the province requested to begin with a census project at the beginning of the 1819 financial year. Further, the revival of the provincial compliance forum was conducted in Mpumalanga during February 2018 with a view to assist the province to have a sustainable forum. As part of the compliance forum action plan, a joint DVA monitoring visits were conducted at Muden, KZN and Limpopo with the aim of assisting the least performing stations and further to improve the performance through developing specific improvement plans. A further joint campaign between SAPS and the Secretariat was conducted at Plessis La to assist the police station in developing an action plan and conducting awareness campaign. And a joint compliance forum was held in March to provide a platform for the secretariat, provincial secretariats, and SAPS to have a fruitful discussion on the implementation of the DVA. And the M&E forum was revived, and the first meeting was held in March 2018. Furthermore, a customer satisfaction survey report was produced and approved during the fourth quarter. The objective of the survey was to provide insight to the perceptions and experiences of individuals who have lodged complaints against the SAPS. The participants of the survey were drawn from SAPS complaints data across all nine provinces. During the time of the survey, SAPS had 7,450 service delivery complainants in the complaints database. Given the nature of the data collection method through interviews, only 5,384 complainants were found to have active contact numbers. A final random representative sample of 268 participants who were contactable through cell phone telephone numbers was used for the study. Out of the 268 sample participants, 163 participants responded to the survey and 106 did not participate. In terms of its predetermined objectives, the number of oversight visits to police stations for the third quarter was 20 and for the fourth quarter was 12. And I've given the reason previously, the reason why it was exceeded. The number of police stations, service delivery trends, and analysis reports approved. In the third quarter, there was not a target. In the fourth quarter, the target was one, it was achieved. The number of subs budget and program performance assessment reports approved. In the third quarter, there was no target, and in the fourth quarter, there was one target, and that was achieved. The number of assessment reports on complaints management, in the third quarter, there was one target, it was achieved. There were no targets in the fourth quarter. The number of reports on implementation of IPED recommendations, in the third quarter, there was one target, it was achieved. Number of compliance monitoring reports on the implementation of DVA, in the third quarter, there was one target, and that was achieved. number of reports in implementation and compliance to legislation. In the fourth quarter, there was one target, it was achieved. Number of customer satisfaction survey reports, one target in the fourth quarter, and that was achieved. Number of monitoring reports on police station implementation of the school safety protocol, there was one target in the fourth quarter, and that was achieved. Then, in the following two, indicators, the indicator for these top two indicators were changed, and that was replaced with the minister who was then coming in decided to change the priority in terms of these two indicators. So in this indicator, the number of reports on the relevance and effectiveness of oversight initiatives approved. There was one target in the third quarter that was not achieved in the third quarter, but it was then achieved in the fourth quarter. And this target was replaced with assessment reports on the resourcing of forensic science laboratories. The same applied to the next one. The number of assessment reports on the establishment and functionality of CSFs, the then minister prioritized the effectiveness of SAPS, the rapid response service, and this was changed in line with the then minister, but both of these two priorities that was then set by the minister was also achieved, and we will further report in the annual report on this. The number of assessment reports on the establishment and functionality of CPFs approved by the Secretary for Police in the third quarter, it was not achieved. It was achieved in the third quarter. In the fourth quarter, the number of evaluation reports on DVA, non-compliance, and exploring causes and possible remedies, there was no target in the third quarter. The fourth quarter was achieved. And then I'll hand over back to the Secretary. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Mr. Rousson, Secretary.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I just want to indicate the DNA bill was supposed to go to Cabinet 2 weeks ago, but there was a request in terms of information which SAPS and correctional services could not provide. So it was now deferred until we get that information. And we hope that we will be able to get that information now. But the bill has been done and everything finalized, certified. It was actually coming on its way because the ministers and some of the minister and some of the cabinet members were asking, we should don't want to come out with a bill that encourage laziness in the public service. We want to find out, since the bill was introduced, because we are just asking for transitional measures, how many people have been sampled, there are buccal samples, how many have been released without doing that, and so on, so that we know the extent of this, and we are in the process of addressing that. And once that is done, I'm sure when members come back after the recess, we will be processing that bill through. Just wanted to add that, but I can hand over to the CFO to deal with the financials.
Thank you, Mr. Pierre, CFO.
Honorable Chair, honorable members, Secretary, colleagues, and all protocol observers, I'll be just presenting the finance, the third quarter and the fourth quarter of the department. Going on to slide 43, you'll realize that as a department, we had a budget of about 124.6 million budget, of which by the end of the third quarter, that means by the end of December, as the department, we had spent 86.2, which is an equivalent of 69.2%, which means that there was still a budget of about 38.4 million still left at the time. Looking at the different programs at the time, you will realize that the administration at the time had spent about 79.9%, intersectoral coordination, strategic partnership, has by the that time has spent 57.5%, legislation and policy development has spent 63.5%, and civilian oversight, monitoring and evaluation, as at the end of December, has spent 63.6%. Moving on to economic classification, as the department, by the end of December, in terms of compensation of employees, we had a budget of 88.5 million, of which we had spent 61.6 as at the end of December, which translates into 69.6%. When it comes to goods and services, we had a budget, an adjusted budget of about 33.5 million, of which by the end of December we had spent 22.4 million, which translates into 67%. And as a department, you'll still realize that we have spent 69.2%. Moving on to the next slide. This is just a narrative explanation of what I've just shared to say that as a department, at the end of December, we have spent 69.2%. And by that time, as a department, we had projected that we have spent 73.6%, which is an equivalent of about 91 million. But then as a department, we had spent 86, as I've indicated. This means that there was an underspending of about 5.5 million. And as it has been already mentioned, the main issues relating to this, it was mainly due to the vacancy posts that were still there. And at the time, that is at the end, as at the end of December, we hadn't finished the process of making sure that as per the TPCA legislation, the SMS members had not yet been paid their pay progression, which is their annual increase in their salaries. And there were also some projects which were delayed, as my colleagues has mentioned, that there were projects that had to be reprioritized. That also led to that underspending. Moving on to the fourth quarter, you will realize that still as a department, we had 124.6 million. And at that time, which means that's at the end of December, and maybe I must indicate that this this budget, as much as we have spent 94.9% as a department, but this presentation was prepared before the final variant. We are still at the initial variant when this was presented, but the expenditure stays the same as 94.9%. So there you realize that as a department, within the administration program at the time, the administration has spent 98%, intersectoral coordination and strategic partnership has spent about 91% of their budget, and legislation and policy development has spent 94.4%, civilian oversight, monitoring and evaluation, as at the end of March, they have spent 91.6%. Moving over to the economic classification, as the department come the end of the financial year, in terms of compensation of employees, from our budget, which has just been, which was then adjusted during environment, we had spent about 93% of the budget, and goods and services, we had spent about 99%, as well as the payments for capital assets, we have spent about 99%. And again, it will relate to the fact that, as I've indicated, the whole underspending relates to the fact that, as at the end of the financial year, we still had some vacancy posts as the department, so that actually led to most of our spending. As you'll realize that most of the underspending was mainly due to compensation of employees. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Secretary. Anything else to add? Right, let's go to questions, members. The first three from my side. The first issue, I think in the presentation was indicated the six measurements indicated by the Minister of Police dealing with violence aimed at children and women and steps at police stations. I just want to get a sense. Do you have got a tool as the Civilian Secretariat to evaluate the effectiveness of that system currently at police stations? What's being done? Secondly, the issue of the min-mix. Now, part of the problem is in terms of provinces got different priorities. Some evaluate, visit police stations, the community safety health, community safety organizations. Others focus on transport, what is the other, let's say, leg of the MEC's portfolio. So my question is, at the min-mix level, is there at least now efforts to have greater alignment on what should be the duties of the community safety departments in terms of monitoring police stations' effectiveness, service delivery issues. And then the third issue, Secretary, if you can just maybe indicate to us what is your assessment of the performance of the DNA board and what is the issues that we as oversight bodies should deal with? I mean, we get various reports, unconfirmed, written reports. What are the issues? Is it governance? Can we might just get an indication? Yes. Honourable Mulabatsi.
Thank you, Chairperson. My first question, tell us about the legislation specialist that was appointed, and tell us whether this person was appointed on a contract basis, and what are the costs involved, and what is the duration. My second one goes is about some police stations still do not have functional CPFs, and some who do have do not know their roles. What is your take on this one? My third one is, in your visit to the police stations, what were your findings regarding the DNA kits? Because we were told many police stations do not have that. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Mulabatsi. Honourable Mula.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for your presentation. In slide 19, reason for variance, unavailability of stakeholders led to the cancellation of the workshop. What do you mean about that? Did you invite them? My second question is about the single police service joint task team. When was this established? My second question is about the single police service joint task team. When was this task team established? My third one is the CPF policy was drafted and distributed for further comments to stakeholders such as SAPS and CPS. When was the deadline for the submission of the comments? My last question, will you please indicate whether you consider the use of open source software as a concern in terms of data integrity and security? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Mbumula. Honourable Mabija.
Thank you, Chairperson. My question will come towards the end of this meeting because it's a question carried from the previous meeting with.
Okay. Thank you. Honourable Mahi.
Thank you, Chairperson. On page or slide 28, it is said that the state of policing study was delayed due to the process of to procure a service provider. Just wondering what are we talking about? Service provider to do what? The second one would be on slide number 34. The very first bullet point, the national monitoring tool. Yeah, we always say in this meeting or the disjuncture between the provincial reporting to an MEC and the national. So just wondering what's happening here. National monitoring what, and the provincial doing what, reporting to whom? Because of this juncture, it's very difficult for me, or who does what and reports to whom. And the last one would be on on 43 and 47. The 69% of expenditure, as opposed to the 94.9 at page 47. Those are two different quarters. Okay, no, I think that explains itself. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mumaki. I'm Makarabana.
Thank you, Chair. Talk to us about the use of consultants. Now, I personally don't think consultants is some evil brought in just to waste money. I understand it's focused, specialized capacity brought in on occasion to deal with a specific issue. But you do show a trend over some years with increasing use. And would it not be beneficial to hire such consultant or consultants full-time? Has the number crunching been done in this regard? Because you do have empty posts, and you have appointed someone called a legislation specialist. Was that to ameliorate this problem, or what are you doing about it? Where is the study on the state of policing, and why don't we have it? And why did you outsource it? You here and your hundreds of staff are supposed to be the leading experts on policing in the country, but you're asking someone else to actually report on what is your core mandate. So that makes me wonder why? It's just a huge question. Could you provide a synopsis of the findings of your school safety protocol report? Now, it has emerged that the database of sexual offenders has never once been looked at by the Department of Education. So we don't know whether sexual offenders, as determined by courts of law, are now working at all of our schools. We don't know. I wondered, and I shouldn't have to wonder, is that referred to in your school safety protocol report? And where is it? I'll leave it there. Thanks.
Thank you, Honourable Colonel Barnett. Honourable Bailey.
Thanks very much, Chairperson, and good morning to the colleagues and to the Secretary and his team. Three questions also from my side, some of which overlap with previous questions. The first is in relation to the number of reports and surveys that have been made reference to. So slide 26, state of policing reports, slide 27, demilitarization of SEPs, this poll study, both of which sound very, very interesting, and the committee, at least speaking for myself, would be very keen to get our hands on that. Also slide 35, the school safety protocol, 37 customer satisfaction surveys, reports, and then all the reports mentioned in slides 38 to 42 in the program targets breakdown. My first broad question is, where are those reports available? Are they online for download? Can we get those sent to the police? And then to echo Honourable Kola Barnard, if it's possible, just to, I know the program heads might not all be here, but to outline just some key findings and recommendations that came out of those, because I think that's going to map the framework for policing going forward for a very long time, certainly I think feeding into the SEPs Act's reform process, amendment process. My second question is on the financials, and that is to start with the statement that the 5% underspending is very concerning. That 6.3 million rand that was left unspent could have been desperately used by the IPIT, for example. I know that departments' monies aren't interchangeable, but certainly looking within the scope of the police portfolio, and we're very aware of the financial strain that the IPID is under and has been and will continue to be given the accruals over the last 102 financial years, the first thing that popped to mind for me was that 6.3 million could have plugged a very crucial gap for that department. So the underspending is concerning. And it's what is cited as the reason is basically around compensation of employees. So my question is, what was the specific challenge or challenges that caused the delays in the payments of those notch increments for senior management staff, as well as the challenge in causing delays in filling of vacant posts? Are we not getting enough suitable candidates applying? Is the HR process constrained, you know, to kind of move at a certain pace? Could you just shed some light on what the challenges there are? And then my last question is on slide 14. Let me just remind myself why I had to get marked that. Slide 14 is the anti-crime campaigns aimed at strengthening partnerships in the fight against crime. And my question here is that, I mean, obviously the notion of safety partnerships is crucial and key. The SAPS alone can't promote or ensure safety. Law enforcement alone cannot ensure or increase safety. But then my question is, can local safety partnerships be truly effective without localization of resources and management authority in the SAPS itself as the keystone stakeholder? And the reason that question is the fact that SAPS is the only stakeholder that has a crime intelligence and investigative powers. So, you know, all the neighborhood watches, all the CPFs, all the community patrollers, all the private security companies in the world cannot substitute for those unique mandates and powers and capacity of the SAPS. And so it has to play its role in those safety partnerships. And my proposition is that it's the centralization of resources and management authority in the SAPS, which constrains optimal effectiveness. So can those partnerships be truly effective without localization of those resources and authority? And linked to my first question about all the reports, is there anything in all the reams of studies that have been produced that speaks to the fact that localized policing is international best practice? It can cause coordination and harmonization challenges, I know. You know, if you look at the US, you've got your county police, you've got your state police, you've got the FBI, you might have your town sheriff, and, you know, coordinating all those things is very, very complex. I take that point. But the opportunity to contextualize, to customize, to be responsive to local crime trends and profiles and changing factors is an adaptability that the SAPS currently lacks because it's so centralized. So is there anything in all the information that's been produced and analyzed that speaks to that localization aspect? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Bailey. Honourable Shlomo.
Thanks, Chair President. I'm sorry for late coming. Traffic congestion has just kept me on my toes. Sorry for that. Only about two questions. One, you know, the current minister, Chairperson, is really crying out that he is wondering why some tactical units of the police were actually then deactivated or downsized or something like that. And also their capacitation in terms of high-powered vehicles and all that. Can you explain maybe your role? Because, and I think as civilian secretariat, giving us as an oversight at a political level, some kind of understanding as to what could be the hiccups in terms of capabilities of our policing in order to meet their mandate of capping crime in the country. What has been your role as civilian secretariat in that regard in actually pointing out these things so that irrespective whatever executive might have decided in the deactivation of this, but then this committee certainly will be able to live up to that. What has been your role in terms of actually raising the alarm bell to say that here is what is actually being actually done, actually then decapacitating our police services? Because I think what the minister is actually crying foul on, I fully agree with him. I really fully agree with him. Because that thing is actually then leaving a particular gray area in my mind. Two, here you are talking about five reports. If you go to page 16, five reports on total number of provinces implementing community police forum guidelines were combined. You are not saying five provinces gave you reports. I want clarity. Is it five provinces that gave you reports of compliance with the guidelines that you have stipulated, or five reports, maybe five reports just coming from one province? And I want to understand, how is this reporting, how does this reporting system work between you and provincial civilian secretariats? Do they report directly to you in terms of their performance? I'm certainly raising this thing because even only if you go to other provinces, you find that policing has been either deliberately or unconsciously completely decapacitated. I'll give one reason, one example. If and only if a member of the community, like the recent political killing in KZN, that member, Mr. Mtunu, I believe, of Pietermaritzburg area, had to be confronted in his house, dragged into his own bedroom in broad daylight, and his family members locked in a particular room and him executed in his bedroom. Up until today, not even a single arrest being made. Now, that tells you that there is something just terribly, terribly wrong, because these people saw these people. Because these people were not hiding their faces and all these things. But up until now, not even a single arrest. It goes back to the question that the chairperson raised earlier on about the DNA board. Because nobody can tell me that in that crime scene, there is nothing that could actually give South African police an immediate lead in terms of testing, DNA testing and all that. But that you just get people just being mowed down, no arrest, no nothing. It tells you, it must actually raise serious alarm bells that something is not actually up to standard somewhere. In one way or the other, something is not up to standard. So, maybe in this area, what could be your advice so that we can then be able as an oversight to say, here is what is actually then lacking here. Because I am really failing. How can it be that a person just can go through that door when we are all seated here, take one of you out, or just execute one of you right here in this room? 3 months, 4 months,
5 months, no one gets arrested. It will tell me that there is something that is terribly, terribly wrong in the investigation or security either of the crime scene or testing of the samples picked from the crime scene itself. So what could be your own looking at? Because the DNA board or the DNA part must be able, as far as I understand, to give some kind of support in that particular area in order to ensure that we get something happening. But I am really worried. I am really worried. I'll raise this chairperson once more. If you go again to KZN, the head of civilian secretariat there is a former MKMVA, is a former MK soldier. We could see him in broad daylight being an employee, a head of a government employee, closing down that Moy River toll plaza there, being a leader as a chairperson also of MKMVA in the province. How do you respond to that as a National Civilian Secretariat? When a person who is supposed to be working or assisting police is actually then seen to be the one who is actually galvanizing some kind of disobedience against the state. Irrespective of whatever his political affiliation, that thing has got nothing to do with anybody's political affiliation. It's about the role that a person ought to be playing in the society and the integrity of the office he or she holds. What is your... Because it was just in the open, broad daylight, and also that man being interviewed. I know him, Mr. Mavunde. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yes, Honourable Kalabana.
Chair, we're going to have a second round of questions.
Yes, maybe just colleagues, in terms of our planning, remember this IFED is coming to us at 11, and we must still before that time adopt the China report that's been redrafted, or the inclusion of Mr. Mshlongu's. So I just want to spell out the timeline. So
I've got like three other questions. I don't know if anyone
I think put it and then
if
also put them and then Honourable Mabija. Thank you. You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much. These mics are still, as you hear, terrible. Try that one. Is that better? Yes.
Yeah.
No squeaking. Sorry, people. A couple more, which are just quite basic. Why was the administration program so much higher than expected? And also, has the Treasury agreed to roll over the 2.014 million? Underspend an intersectoral coordination and strategic partnerships program. You've got to explain why you didn't, it was obvious that was going to happen, why you didn't shift it to your core service delivery department program, I beg your pardon. And really, you failed to project the increase in the licensing from Microsoft. That speaks to poor management. And finally, where is the, we should be able to look at the customer satisfaction survey on the complaints mechanism in the SAFs. Your sample size seems to have been very small. And also, where are the community policing strategies and the CPF policies? Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Bija. Okay. Right. Thank you very much, members. Over to Mr. Rapia and his team for responses. Thank you.
Thanks, Honourable Chair. Maybe I'm just start with the last question, then I'll go back so that when it's still fresh in my mind. The issue of the Microsoft licenses were being paid by SAPS all along, as I have indicated. It was not an issue of anticipation. The amount was in the budget. We didn't go over the budget, so our planning was correct. That's why we're able to pay that. If it was not budgeted, then it means that we would have ended up going over the budget on goods and services. I will leave the financial questions to the CFO to respond to. But starting from the chairperson's questions, do we have a tool to evaluate what is happening in the police station regarding the DVA? Yes, we have a tool that we use to evaluate that. And that's what informs us in terms of the reporting. The NMT tool, it also measures on the DVA issues and also in terms of the police station performance. the oversight role at provinces, there is an alignment. The responsibility where you have transport, the MEC who has got responsibility of transport and community safety will attend two MINMEX. The MINMEC that deals with transport, that MEC will attend that. And the MINMEC that deals with community safety, that MEC will attend that. And in the our MINMEC, they will only report on community safety issues and policing issues. And the reports that we present, and it's something that we can come and share what kind of reports come in, we consolidate from every province. They will submit their quarterly reports in terms of the work that we have done, and then we consolidate them, and they get tabled at the MINMEC quarterly, which means that that alignment actually happens. And you can see the inputs, and we are very clear in terms of the projects that are led by national, and then the provincial secretariat will be working with us but contributing to the national assessment. And then there will be those that the provinces themselves, they do, which we will consolidate to make sure that there is proper reporting at MINMEC. And also because the provinces as the department, they have to report to DPME to make sure that they are aligned with the MTF. DNA board assessment. I think for me, my observation that DNA has been dysfunctional. One of the reasons why this the DNA bill was returned was because we couldn't provide the minister with the information which he requested, and which is the responsibility of the DNA board. When they reported that the 2 years transitional period is coming to an end and we need to ask for extension of that, the information that came in was not sufficient for us to deal with this issue. That's why Minister asked those questions. So it has been dysfunctional, focusing on issues that are not the mandate that they have, focusing on the issues which are the mandate of the accounting officer, and they see themselves as a statutory board, being the oversight of the accounting officer, like you will have a public entity, that the accounting officer will be reporting to them. So they got bogged down in terms of that. On several occasions, we asked that we get a annual performance plan, and they declined to submit that annual performance plan. They say if you prepare an annual performance plan, it means that now your independence is being questioned. Our expectation was that when we submit our annual performance plan, we will have an addendum that says the DNA board annual performance plan attached. And we don't have to tell them what to do in terms of their plan. But even up to date, the portfolio committee hasn't received the annual performance plan. And I think the annual report for last year was just tabled. It's not a long time ago. So it is dysfunctional, and I think the issue that has been raised regarding the issue of the kids, it's something that the DNA board is supposed to monitor and assess. So it's something that the portfolio committee need to address when it suits them. They want to be accountable to the minister. When it suits them, they are accountable to the portfolio committee, and it becomes very difficult to manage them.
Yeah, I think on that point, we are here next week, so let's let them come on Wednesday afternoon or Thursday afternoon. The judge and the team, and also the accounting officer, and let's deal with it head on. Because we can't allow a situation where there's uncertainty about governance and rules. And I mean, we gave them enough time, so let's have that next week.
Yeah.
Sorry, there was Honourable Malabatsi wanted to come in.
Chair, I just wanted to check what is the Act saying about the dysfunctional board, you know? I just wanted to check with Mr. Rafi.
I would have to check that, but I think it's silent in terms of that, but I think it could be dissolved if it's dysfunctional. We'll have to check that, and then we can come back to you on that, on how it should be dealt with. I think if we are supposed to appear here, when we come, we'll be prepared with the response regarding that.
Okay. the legislation specialist, we have appointed Dr. Jacobs. Dr. Jacobs was in SAPS before, and he has worked in legislation. He was retiring, so we wanted somebody who would just work for 12 months and assist us with the project. We advertised, and we got CVs, and he came out to be somebody who is the best, who can deal with especially the SAPS Act amongst all the people that applied. It's a short-term contract, which is 12 months, which has got specific deliverables quarterly that we are monitoring. And he has already started work on that. And we believe that the SAPS Act, finally, we will have it amended. The issue about the capacity of the CPFs, we have recognized that there's a problem in terms of CPFs that are not functional. There's a problem in terms of understanding of their role, which currently, that's why we looked in terms of reviewing the policy. And there's consultation, there's a 4x4 task team that I'm chairing now. After the minister said we need to do further consultation, there's a 4x4 task team that comprises of the CPF's chairs of the provincial boards, the civilian secretariat, and SAPS, that will look into the community policing policy and the community policing strategy. So we started looking into the CPF, but as it goes now, we are finding that the issue is about community policing, that it must be done so that we incorporate all the pillars of community policing in that policy. So on the 12th and the 13th, I hope that is not the date that you would want us to appear with DNA board, because this is we were supposed to have set in May. We couldn't, but we have to finalize this thing by the end of June. The Deputy Minister pronounced that in August he will be finalizing that report. President announced that we're going to have a community policing strategy in his State of Nation address. So we need to have that on the 12th and the 13th, we will be
having a workshop that is going to finalize the draft for recommendation to the minister to approve. The single policing task team, when was it established? It was established in 2016. It was around 2016, towards the end of the financial year. And the work that has been done now, there's now consultation now at provinces and local government, especially with the police metro chiefs. And once we have gone through that, we will have a final workshop where we'll bring all the participants together, and we're also planning to actually take these things through to one of the SALGA conferences so that we can present this concept to SALGA, because it impacts on local government. This, regarding the CPF policy, the inputs, the deadline was in December, end of December, and we had to extend that deadline. And also when we went to the MINMEC meeting, when we presented that, it came out that the NECs had not got, didn't make an input into the policy, and we had to send it to them for them to give additional input. So we hope that by next week now, we will be coming out with a draft a document that can be processed. Slide 28, the delay to procure the service provider. Let me just check that slide 28 again. the state of policing that the CFO will deal with that that question. The issue of slide 34, the NMT, I've already indicated that there is no disjuncture between the national and provincial in terms of the assessment. It's very clear in terms of what they do. They're joint projects. They're those that they do on their own, because specific provinces will have uniqueness, and they reports. They also submit that reports to us so that we go and we report at MINMEC. Yes, the use of consultants, there's an increase, and we can justify the increase. When we look for consultants, there's a form that we actually have to complete to say, can this work be done by current people? Is it once-off? Is it going to be a long-term thing that needs to be done? You have to comply with that before you procure the services of the consultants. So the trend is there, but it's for things that are necessary that we need to do, especially the issue about the state of policing. We won't do the state of policing every year. It will be 5 years. Every 5 years we will do that. So you cannot have somebody who will be appointed with that kind of specialist to do this kind of sophisticated assessment in your books. And the study on state of policing is approved.
Yes, Honourable Marquis.
On that one, don't you have the research or something within the department itself? Research unit of some sort.
Yeah, maybe just to amplify the point made by Honorable Marquis. I mean, if you look at the institutions we visited, their research units are well staffed. They are experts, individually experts on policing matters. Now, if the Secretariat is going to you know, appoint consultants on a continuous basis to deal with these issues, you're not going to build internal capacity, and your ability to actually then deal with broader policing issues will be dependent on outside input, and that's a risk, because it will depend then on who's the expert, what is the area of expertise, there's no continuity. So that's the risk with regard to such an approach. Thank you, Secretary.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I think we note that risk, and it's one of the issues in our organizational structure. We have taken that into consideration. But there's no guarantee that we will get that organizational structure approved when there's now a review of the macro organization of the state. It might be delayed. But we have taken that into consideration in terms of building the capacity. One of the things that for this study, because the University of Western Cape did this for us, there was proper capacity building and transfer of knowledge from the team, from the research. They even spent some time at the university, about 2 days, getting that transfer of skills in terms of this. So the research that we do, we also use it to do capacity building and transfer of the skills. But we have identified, we note that this will be a risk going forward.
Yes, Honorable Mutombi, welcome.
No, Chairperson. In fact, I just wanted Chairperson to come to what you raised as a risk. In fact, I think it's not even a risk; it's a serious danger. This thing, because even only one, I don't think that there is any vetting of those people in the first place. And if people then are resting with the state of national security of the country outside of the state machinery itself, I'm sorry, should it be infiltrated by some groups who know exactly that your capacity ends here? They can even take you down, take the whole state down in a minute. So it's a danger of a serious degree. Not even a risk, it's just a danger. You cannot take such measures because it deals with the capabilities of the state to live up to its mandate in terms of national security. It cannot be located outside of the state.
Yeah, because I think part of the public debate, if we analyze what the Minister of Police said this last 3 days, the admissions he made in public about the state of certain units, certain entities, certain departments within SAPS, that is risks that must be identified by the Civilian Secretariat in their comparative analysis and their research. I mean, we as the Portfolio Committee, of course, in our recommendations, those issues were raised during this last few years, but I mean, the material thing is the Civilian Secretariat is the institution that must tell the Minister of Police, Minister, this is the state of your police, your operational units, your TRT is not, you need more training and all those kind of issues, your CI. So I mean that's why you need that capacity internally, and I think Honorable Shlong is correct. Yes, you can continue, sir.
Thank you. I was going to come to that question because it's also asked. Maybe I must just respond to that. The reports, oversight reports, they have pointed out to these issues. If you go in the, because we have sent our research reports to the Portfolio Committee, if you look into the report which deals with the capacity of I forgot what they call it again. In that report, we talk about the issue about having top heavy the police, and that the police at police station are not in power to actually even make decisions. It's there in our report. In the report on demilitarization, we talk about the watering down of the responsibility of your TRTs and the national intervention units, some of them now being incorporated into the police and doing the normal policing, like the people in uniform, the blue patrollers and so on, not being, because you need a proper instructor. A person who is highly trained cannot be commanded by somebody who is just a normal police. You need, the command must be somebody with the same kind of training and authority. And that is watered down. We have that in the reports that we have done. The issue about the capacities of the forensic labs, we have made those recommendations, and we also produce those findings. And these reports are shared with SAPS. So the state of policing report, we will be sending it through to the portfolio committee, as we agreed last time that you don't have to ask us for reports. As we produce them, we must send them. I think the only thing that we're going to do is, once it's done, I sign it off, we submit it to the minister, and we indicate that we will be sending it to the portfolio committee. What we will need to just check is, because currently we are not tabling formally. We are sending the reports as sharing information. Whether we should table all those reports formally, because the legislation doesn't say you have to formally table. And if you formally table, it has to be tabled with the speaker. But that direction we'll get from...
I think that's a very important report. I think we will create the opportunity when we come back in August, you know, for a formal briefing at the Portfolio Committee, that you give us that, what is the state of policing, and that then we take those issues forward. No, it's a very important report.
When we come back, I hope we will never leave it.
Chairperson.
Honourable Markie.
I think my question was direct, that what does this service provider do? In relation to this, do they go and check what the police are doing? Do they go and interview the national commissioner? What do they actually do? Because I mean they might say that this unit is not necessary. This is so just to have an idea, or what do they actually do?
Thank you, Honourable Markie. Mr. Larapia, you
are. Oh, sorry, I didn't respond to the yes. The work that is a full research, the methodology in terms of the research, it will include interviewing senior officials in SAPS. It will include assessing documents from SAPS. It will include even comparisons with international trends. It will include assessment in terms of other researches that have been done in the country, and then they consolidate that into a report. Maybe just to indicate, every service provider that we appoint, except if it's an issue about catering, whatever, but if we appoint a service provider, they get vetted by state security. We have to send that to say before we appoint, they have to do the vetting. But vetting, as we know, doesn't say people won't go there and share the information. It just say they are clear, we don't think that they are going to sell this information and whatever. But also they will know that whatever they do, they cannot distribute without the permission of the civilian secretariat.
Sorry to belabor this, Chairperson. Then, I'm just thinking, if If the report is not acceptable, what happens? I mean, they might do their research, and when they come back with their research, you peruse it and you say, nah, this is nonsense. And they must be paid for that, you see. You have got to review it. Surely you can't take it as it is. And if it's irrelevant, or maybe I'm just thinking aloud.
Thank you.
Thank you. The service level agreement will indicate what needs to be delivered. We check our reports in terms of that. If they didn't meet the service delivery agreement or the terms of reference, then we don't have any obligation to pay them. And in terms of the blacklist listing of service providers who didn't deliver on their performance, we can also send them for blacklisting with the National Treasury if they haven't delivered on what is required. We will ask them to go. That's why some of the researchers, you find that you would extend the period, and that extension will also be covered in terms of the service level agreement, and say, okay, if you don't complete, we'll give you maybe another month to complete. If it's not, it's still substandard, then we will say you didn't deliver and we have no obligation to pay.
Yes, members, let's take that one, but then we must really move on. Yes.
Yeah, Chairperson, I think because we need to avoid these things moving forward. I was deeply touched by the current National Police Commissioner. Just on simple things, that the country or the nation has paid huge amount of monies, you know, these things of these tetras, for example. When he says, no, look, what I found out after my appointment was that the user is not necessarily in good touch with this. We need to do something else. Now, even if there is some research, as it is said by Honorable Maki, done, I don't think that it will depend on who has been appointed. Because you will find systems being aligned just for you to take the ball, keep the ball rolling. But now, with us, then it depends who is appointed in the office. If then tomorrow we can have another new commissioner, that new commissioner is going to certainly tell us something else, completely different, that we need to review the whole thing. Now, I'm trying to find out this missing link. Because to me, it's no use that we can be bombarded with these documents when we cannot actually have sustainability of the programs. To say this is what the drive is all about. Any deviation will be challenged through the legal systems that we have in place. But this thing of cut and paste every now and then, no, really, I don't really think that we are going to get there. I am trying, because what Honorable Magen is honestly raising, I fully concur with him. Even only if we have got a well-researched information that this is the roadmap, what then makes these halapaloo things that we find that now, suddenly, what new minister is coming up is saying that, look, we don't have policing at the moment. I am starting from scratch. That's what Honorable Pelikan is saying in point blank. Where have we been? I know. I'm not really hip about this thing. I must be very honest. Because to me, Chairperson, even only if I come as a commissioner and I deviate, you as a civilian secretary, take me on. Just like what IP did. What IP did was 100% correct to test the legislation, if the legislation is on the other side. But if we are just going to come like cry babies
all the time without holding the line, I think we shall forever remain crybabies as civilian secretariat. Because I don't think that you are willing to test the power of legislation that gives you power authority over these things in order to ensure that there is continuity at all material cost. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you. Yes, members, of course, we will have that hearing on or the briefing on the state of policing, because it's vital, and at least we've got the international benchmark document as well to test it against that we got during our visit abroad. So we will do that when we're not coming back, when we keep continuing staying here. Yes, Anna Mabija.
I'm going back, thank you, Chairperson. Yeah. I'm going back to the previous meeting where Mr. Rapier was in absentia. We've been talking, discussing the issue of the judge's car, the Q what. The CFO has been trying to say this, that. Now, I would like to have a report, an explanation from him, how far and what is the trade going on. Thank you.
Thank you, Alma Bija. Let's deal with that question and also the other questions. Thank you.
I will deal with that last
issue. Thank you.
Can I just have another question that the militarization of subs Vispol. Why Vispol? Why not the whole police service? I was just wondering, or now it has been downgraded to Vispol only. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Marke. Mr. Repair, you're welcome.
The next question I want to deal with is the issue of the school safety protocol report, the synopsis. I'm unable at this point to give the synopsis, but we can come and present all our reports if you want. We can give, and what I have asked now with the annual report is that in the annual report, as part of the accounting officer's report, it will include even the synopsis, and even when we are reviewing every program, will include the synopsis of some of the findings of the reports that we produce. And another issue that regarding the school safety protocol, the minister has even asked us to review that school safety protocol. It's in our APP this year, so that we see whether it's relevant. Is it addressing the issues that it's supposed to address, issues that have raised, which says there's rape cases that is happening in schools, and you have pedophile people who are in the schools, the drugs that are being sold in the school, whether it's addressing that issue or not. Minister wants us to revisit that, and we have already started with the process of revisiting. We might come in with, because it was just a protocol between the Minister of Police and the Minister of Education. And when you look into it, it just says this is how we are going to cooperate. Maybe we will be coming out with a policy safety at schools, the policy on safety at schools, which will go further. The reports, as I've already indicated, we have sent most of the reports to the committees, and if we are allowed to come and do a presentation, we can do a presentation of all of them, because we even have, for the minister when he came, we did slides for the work that we have done, which actually gives that, but it might not be done in 2 hours. It might be something that we can do half a day, but you can indicate which ones are you interested in, the ones that we've already submitted, and then we can prioritize, and others we can just do shorter slides. The issue about the 5% underspending, the CFO will deal with that. The issue about local safety partnerships and the localizing of policing. Our white people on safety and security actually clarify in terms of the roles from national to local level. We are busy organizing a crime, it's a violent prevention and crime prevention summit, which is going to take place in September. The minister has approved that, and the focus will be ensuring the implementation of what is in the white paper on policing, because it deals with all these issues. It's something that we have. Sometimes we'll have these white papers, and if we don't implement them practically, it becomes a problem. In that summit, we are inviting the mayors, we are inviting MMCs for safety at local level. We're bringing in cooperative governance and traditional affairs, because it's all inclusive, and how can we practically, and there will be even some case studies in terms of how we implementing certain things. There are many strategies that we have developed. An example, the anti-gang strategy that has been developed. It's the anti-gang gangsterism strategy that has been approved by cabinet. It deals with issues of, say, what is the role of social development, what is the role in the school, and all those things. And we will be saying, how are these things being implemented? And there is implementation that is happening at provinces.
Yes. Yes, Honourable Colabona.
When you say it's all-inclusive, I trust it means it includes this committee. Because I so often hear of these massive events, and we hear about it. I've frequently received invitations about an hour before an event. So if we are to be included, maybe you could invite us before it's over. Thank you.
Yeah, that's not only restricted to that member only, but we...
You definitely be invited. You are on the list of the people who be invited. I just forgot to mention, because I was answering the local linkage, I emphasize issues of MMCs and the mayors, but you are on the list of those who will be invited. I've already dealt with the issue that has been raised in terms of what the current minister is unhappy about, the deactivation of some of the specialized units that I said we have in our reports identified these weaknesses. Regarding the reports, when we talk five reports, we go to each province and do an assessment using the tool in terms of the CPF's functionality and so on. So it will be a report from, so those reports are five reports from different provinces. The issue of the HOD of community safety, I think I cannot respond on that, because he reports to the MEC, and he is accountable to the Premier of the province. The career incidence of heads of departments is the responsibility of the Premier of the province. And if he was found doing that, if there's a crime that he committed in that process, he needs to be brought to the book. The Civilian Secretariat does not have any authority in terms of the disciplining of the HOD, and I haven't seen that. If one has seen that incident, you would raise it and say we have seen this, but I haven't seen that. It's the first time that I heard about this matter. The issue about the administration, why is it higher? The CFO will deal with that. And issues of rollover. The last two questions will be the judge's car. We had to buy the judge's car. When the judge was appointed in this position, he retired as the judge president of Northern Cape. And as part of that, he was being driven around with a Q7. And what we bought for him is actually a downgrade of what he has. And from where we sit, I think we also have to respect the other arm of the state, the judiciary. And that's the perks that they are getting. And he said when he comes, that's what he qualifies for. We did a reference with other departments. The DPSA had a judge who was dealing with the issue of the Remuneration Commission. And they also procured a car for the judge. They're lucky enough with them. They also had, because they have a minister who is responsible. We're not responsible for any minister. Our minister is catered for. He's traveling by the car. So they had a car that was used by the previous minister, which they could give him. Different from Judge Musa. Judge Musa was not a judge president. And by his nature, he doesn't want these packs. So looking into that, we felt that we need to procure that car. Currently, actually, it was costing us more, the Q7, because we were paying the office of the Chief Justice the lease. And we didn't go on the lease agreement because it was costing us about 30,000 rand a month, because we had to loan the car while we are busy procuring his car. The last...
Yes, member.
On that, Mr. Rabea, is there any policy that... I don't know who that mandates like your section to buy a car on request of the applicant, or you just do it out of courtesy, even if your budget will be bleeding? Thank you.
Right, thank you very much, Mr. Pierre. Would you, thank you. You can respond.
That's why, because we went through the Department of Justice. It's silent. There's no policy that says you buy the car for the judge when they're in commission. There's no policy. It's silent. In the judge's remuneration, it talks about what they qualify for when they are in service, not after they've retired in terms of the car, whether they qualify for car. It's silence. That's why we had to check with DPSA, and I think we also, when SARS also had the commission that they have established with the judge there, and we check those institutions, say, this is how it's being done. And procuring a car on our side, we use the R57 contract with National Treasury, and that car becomes the asset of the department. But it was, I'm coming from this with these packs. You're giving me this job. I need to still have the means of traveling. He's not using his own car because he says he has retired. If he was not doing this work, he would buy a simple car that he would use to just go and buy bread and come home. But this is going to be an additional expense on his side. And he's got two protectors that are given by the South African Police Service, so they drive him around.
Yes, members, I really want to close this matter. We
have spoken, Chairperson. I mean, he has a salary, isn't it, that matches his functions, what you are hiring him for, and he's retired. He left a certain place with all his pensions and so on. You hire him on a very high salary that matches his functions. Now, I don't understand why we need to copy what the other department is doing whilst our budget is not the same. Because he's being hired just like yourself and myself. And he cannot say, I want this, I want a car, in order for me to come and perform my duties in your department. I don't get it right somewhere, because already his salary is up following the status that he's in, and he's able to buy himself a car to go to work where you are paying him a high salary. If you can explain that for me.
I think in short, we don't pay the judge salary. Mm. It's paid by the justice. It's in the office of the chief justice.
Yeah.
So it's paid by them. We only have to. For him, he's saying this is my tool of trade. If you want me to travel in Mpumalanga and go to Limpopo on this thing, and you want me to go and use my car, I am not going to use my car. So and there are very few. It took us a long time to actually go and get a judge for this job. A number of them were not available, or they don't want to do this job and so on. But it's mandatory. We said we need a judge. Maybe if we review the legislation, we must consider, do we really need a judge for this job, or we can get an advocate who can do or an attorney or whatever, who can do this job, rather than saying a judge, because judges, they come with specific packs, and they are used to specific to a certain standard of living, and they would want it to continue. On the issue of the demilitarization, it was two phases. The research was in two phases. The first phase, we focused on the TRT and the POP units. And the second phase, we went and say, is VSPOL militarized? So it was two phases of the study, which actually completes the whole first phase and second phase combined. We'll be talking about subs in overall.
Thank you very much, Mr. Secretary. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much to the department for the input. We take note, and of course we will continue to monitor the matters. But of vital importance is the DNA board. We will arrange afternoon session next week, and maybe also if the Department of Police can also present their evaluation of what is the road ahead, what can be done to turn the situation around. Of course, the judge will also have to come, and the CEO of that institution explain the issues with the portfolio committee. So thank you very much. Honourable members, before we break for tea for 10 minutes, I just want to deal with two reports. The first report is the Republic of China report. There was inclusion of a paragraph, it's the so-called Mushlongu Amendment, a very famous amendment.
Yeah.
Must still go through the... Yeah. it is on page 7, but I think there's maybe a word too much, Pilot. Can you just maybe read us the paragraph, Pilot, that was included? It's page 7, the second paragraph.
Last week, Honorable Mshongo raised an issue about, on the issue of training. So, The paragraph reads, of significant importance to the police training system in the People's Republic of China was the continuous feedback, which is a critical component of the curriculum, which enables the training institution to get the real impact of the training on the ground. Through this process, the commanders on the ground are able to assess at a practical level how trainees respond to the training given and be able to give feedback back to the university with a view of improving where there is a need to do so.
Thank you. Honourable Shongu, does that encapsulate your input and concerns? Thank you. Other members are happy with that? Is there, pilot, is there any other issues? Well, can we put the report?
So that's the issue that...
Yeah, I remember, that of course, there was a lot of grammatical issues last week, so that was included. Right, can we then put page one? Page two. It's the People's Republic, Honourable Mbele, yes, included. Page three. Page four. Page five. Page six.
Jefferson, page six with the correction.
Yes. Yeah, you mean page seven with the correction, yeah.
Oh, page seven.
Yeah, with the correction, yeah. With the inclusion of the famous Mushlongu Amendment approved in Beijing. On site. Then page 8. Can we move to page 9? And page 11. Everybody happy? Can we get a proposal for adoption? On Mushlongu, thank you, Seconder. Thank you, Honourable Molobatsi. Thank you very much, members. Colleagues, then the second report is just in terms of the timeline and process steps. We must just adopt this report to inform the National Assembly that the draft bill was published in the Government Gazette last Friday. And it's also indicating when we foresee to conclude our business on the mat. On the mat on the 5th of July. Pilot, will you maybe just read the report to the members? Thank you.
Chair, is the Portfolio Committee on Police Memorandum in terms of Rule 2743 of the Rules of the National Assembly, dated 6 June 2018. The Portfolio Committee on Police hereby informs the National Assembly in terms of National Assembly Rule 2743 that the draft Independent Police Investigative Directorate Amendment Bill 2018 was published for public comments in the Government Gazette number 41667 on 1 June 2018. The closing date for the submissions is 22 June 2018. The committee intends reporting on the outcome of its process by 5 July 2018.
Thank you very much. Colleagues, proposal? Honorable Bija, seconder? Thank you. Thank you very much, Honorable. Thank you very much, colleagues. That then concludes the first part of our meeting. There's a 10-minute tea break, and after tea, we will have iPad. Thank you very much.
Chairperson, outside the meeting, I was just looking at the program. Why don't we work a full day? Because, I mean, right now...
Yeah, no, it's supposed to, you mean in terms of this... Yeah, no, it's full days. It's full days, yeah.
And then next week, I mean, I see 10 to 1 o'clock. After that, I don't even, especially those that don't have cars.
No, we will address that. Thank you. A pilot will be one full settings. You must make it to 1700. Will you? Thanks. Including lunch.
Is there another program?
Of the side, yes.
I couldn't like it.